listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. Happy Friday. Happy Friday the 13th. How the heck are you, Miller and Moulton? Thanks so much for being with us. Hope your week has gone well. We, of course, here on the Florida Sports Network, we had six game sixes last night. We had the NFL schedule release last night. We had probably two-thirds of a day and night of a Major League Baseball schedule. And we're a week away from the PGA, less than now. Got a lot going on. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Happy for the Lightning. Happy for me, the sports fan, that gets a game seven in what's been a really good series. After, you know, first four games were dominated by the winning team, but games five and six, really competitive, really good.
Considering the team that took the lead into the third and both games lost. And of the six game sixes last night, you know, six teams obviously with a chance to advance, only two of them did. So we're going to have a lot of game sevens.
And that is what is, well, the best thing in sports. Game seven. Those two words should get the hair on your arms to stand up a little bit.
Anything can happen. Can have a double overtime hockey classic. I remember 1 year, late 90s, Wings and Avs, the most hated rivalry in the sport. And I think the Wings won a game seven, like 6-0 or something like that against legendary Patrick Waugh. I mean, you never know what's going to happen.
And as excited as you are this morning, Tampa, and you should be, a great win by the Lightning. At some point on this Friday the 13th, think of the superstition that is going on in the province of Ontario right now. Because they had a third period lead and the drought continues for at least two more days for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They played one of their best games in Tampa. I mean, they already won one, so it's not their best game, but they played really well last night.
I could argue it was their best game in Tampa. I mean, you know, in hockey with the whole goaltending factor and the bounces, I think it was their best game of the series. Even when they were down 2-0, I'm like, they're playing well. The bounces haven't gone their way yet. Then to have what, late second period, the two goals within like what, 26 seconds of one another, all in the final minute of the second period, and you're like, look at this. It's finally their time. This is the team that's going to do it. They can take it to the Lightning. Their A game seems to be just a little bit better. And then they're dominating the first 8 minutes of the third period. I mean, Tampa's got nothing going. I mean, no serious chances, can't connect on the passes in the zone. They're not shooting the puck. I turned on the radio last night. I actually had to do something in the middle of the game last night, so I'm watching like the first half of the game. And then had to, you know, do a quick thing. And so I was listening. Espo is just going nuts in the third period, yelling in the middle of the play, shoot the puck! I love him. Absolutely, because
well,
I'm with you.
It is such a different game than the game he played.
Yep.
And there are so many times they're in spots where Espo's got to be thinking, what are you doing, pass? What are you thinking, pass, right now?
Yep. And you know, as the play-by-play guy, okay? You know, up the zone in the wing, dump in, you know, come on, make a pass there. You know, you got to keep going. You're doing your play-by-play. All right, another 20 seconds goes by. Got to shoot it. You're still talking. I just love it.
It is, it's something. It's quite a listen.
I will, though. When you're losing, though, you can sometimes just sense the tension and the urgency in the announcers' voices. But it was great to have our buddy John Forslund on the call last night because he's so good. Thought Turner did a good job with it and discussing just the magnitude. And I think it was Keith Jones who just flat out said, either late in regulation or early in OT. You got 14 teams in the league right now that are desperate for the Leafs to score the next goal.
Yep. Yep. By the way, just we said it before the show, Keith Jones, who I thought was just a stiff doing the studio show for NBC for all those years.
For 15 years as a stiff.
Never thought he was any good. Never thought he brought anything to the table. Never thought he had any energy.
No.
He's really good as a color analyst.
Right. Where was the consultant at NBC to go? You know, I've listened to him do Flyers games. We got to get him out of the studio.
He's really good as an analyst. My goodness. They wasted a lot of time on NBC having him in the studio because that studio show was dreadful.
So you want the ESPN studio show is dreadful too.
Well, I mean, PK Subban makes it a little better.
I'll give you that. Him with Chelios has a chance of getting something insightful. A chance. But once again, Turner knows how to do a studio show better than ESPN.
Well, they know how to do a studio show better than anyone right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But it's interesting is they've actually taken some of the talents who were with NBC, put them on their studio show, and those people are completely different than how they were on NBC.
Well, and I will say they know how to either coach a host or let a host be himself, because Ernie's great. We all know that. Liam's fantastic.
And he was nothing like this when he was on NBC.
No, he gets to show his entire personality, and I think he is loving the opportunity to be on TNT. I mean, he has fun. That's the job of that guy. You're driving the bus, and you're supposed to have a little fun while you're doing it. But the Lightning with a monster win last night, forcing a game 7. Brendan Point in the overtime with the goal with a couple minutes left in OT, forces a game 7 back in Ontario. All the pressure in the world is on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, there was a big penalty in game 5 in which the Lightning had the lead and a power play, and Stamkos committed a high sticking penalty, made it a 4-on-4. Leafs scored twice on the 4-on-4 to turn that game around and ultimately win it. Well, there was a controversial penalty or two midway through the third last night. Lightning got nothing going on. We're 8 minutes into the third. They can't get a shot on goal, really. I mean, you know, they're controlling the puck, but they ain't doing anything threatening at all. And then all of a sudden, two high sticking calls. I have a question. Could he have challenged the first one? Because that was not a high sticking. That caught him in the shoulder. The Lightning player, in my opinion, completely soccered it. Totally embellished a play that it did not. You know, when that hockey player throws his head back, it's the stick or the elbow or whatever caught him in the face. That stick from the Leaf player did not catch him in the face at all. It was clear as day. It caught him in his shoulder just above the armpit.
So above the armpit's not a high stick?
Well, but you know why it was called.
Yeah.
You know why it was called. And no. Actually, come on. I mean, no. In the NHL, they'll never call you if you hit a stick in a guy's upper chest.
Depends on how the stick is. If the stick's up over your head, they will call, and they do call it.
But it wasn't over his head, okay? He was moving, and the stick was on its way up. It caught him in the shoulder, and the Lightning player threw his head back. He got the call. But as I was watching it, I'm thinking to myself, can they challenge this? You know, they get one challenge a game, right? I'm like, man, this is kind of big. And then just for the Leafs, a bad break. I mean, this just happens in hockey where sometimes your sticks collide, and it was actually Hedman. And both guys are making a hockey play, but Hedman is actually lifting his stick up, and the Leafs' stick is on top of Hedman's. And so, hey, the Leaf is player is responsible for a stick, okay, but Hedman's actually maneuvering his stick and trying to get it not tangled with the other guy's stick. The puck's right there, and Hedman kind of helps the Leafs player's stick up, and then that did catch Hedman, and they got to call that. That's a bad break for the Leafs. That just happens. Can't argue.
If you challenge and don't get it, you get another minor penalty.
Exactly.
And that's why, at that point, you're going to give them a 5-on-3 and have the chance of losing the game right there?
Right.
You've got to just give your penalty killers the opportunity and say, go kill a bad call.
Right. And obviously, as a coach, you're not thinking that 15 seconds later, you're going to commit another penalty and go down 5-on-3.
Right.
But I remember when it happened and there was 12 minutes to go in the game, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, is this, do you roll the dice here? Can you challenge this? And I don't know that you can.
I don't think you can, because you can't take the chance to put your team down two men for 2 minutes at that point in the game. You just kill the penalty and you move on. Unfortunately, they get another one. Unfortunately for them, they get another one. And the Lightning score.
And then it was tense for an hour. The final 10 minutes of the third period and 18-plus minutes of overtime. It was tense. You knew next goal was a winner. And in one case, it could have been the series and the end of a, well, mini dynasty. And instead, a game seven. Does the dynasty continue? Can the Leafs finally win a series? Can they slay the dragon, their own and the Lightning?
Back in Toronto for games, back in Toronto for game seven, we shall see the Heat get it done last night on
yes!
the road with a dominant third quarter.
Jimmy Buckets, who told Embiid after the game, he said, I still wish I was here. Loved playing with you. Miss you. As he's waving bye-bye to the Philly fans. Bye-bye. See ya.
You guys really thought I was nervous.
I never actually, Felipe, I want to tell you this sincerely. I never once cared what your feelings were about the game. Whether it was nervous, excited. I asked you if you thought they were going to win. You said they did. Believe it or not, your feelings don't come into play when I analyze a game. I don't go, ooh, Sixers, Heat. Wonder how Felipe feels about this game.
I will say, if they were losing, I would have thought about you. I would have said, oh, he's seeing a game seven in his future. He's going to be nervous. But the Heat get it done. Not a lot of road teams coming up with big wins these days. But Milwaukee did it the night before, and the Heat did it last night. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. So the Lightning stay alive. The Heat advance to the conference finals. I got a nugget. I got a Heat nugget.
Oh, I was hoping for a chicken.
At this hour?
Why not?
Okay. Courtesy of our buddy Tim Reynolds, AP Miami. Since Pat Riley came to Miami, the teams that have played the most conference finals games in the NBA, the Lakers with 50, the Heat and Spurs with 49 each. So obviously the Heat, since they've just advanced to the conference finals and will play a minimum of four games, the Heat will become the franchise that in the last 25 years has played the most conference finals games of any franchise in the NBA.
Pretty impressive. And this is the, you know, third really solid Heat team. Third really solid Heat group, I should say, not Heat team.
Yeah, because you had the 05-06 Shaq D. Wade. They won the title in 06. That faded pretty quickly. Then obviously the big three together, and they had their four-year run, 2011 through 2014. And now you got the well, are they the Jimmy Butler?
They have to
group
be.
In which they've now gone to two conference finals in 3 years.
They're the dog pound.
That's already been taken.
Is that really what they're trying to sell as their thing?
No, no. They're just the players call themselves the kennel because there's just a bunch of dogs in there.
All right. So that's their thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're old. You know, the dog pound goes back to the Cleveland Browns in the 80s, but
that's and it's still there. I mean, in their eyes, they
whatever
dog whatever talked to the owner a couple years ago,
right? That is true. When the Browns went 1-31, I think during that 2-year stretch, and Haslam actually met with a guy,
Dog Pound Ray or something like that, you
showed up for the meeting dressed as if it was the Steelers game. And you and I were on the air at the time, and you looked at me and said, "You love this, don't you?" I go, "Well, you know me, Mark. I think you should occasionally press the flesh, get the idea of what it is the masses are thinking." And you looked at me and said, "I'd have fired everybody."
Everybody. Haslam walks out. I mean, who in the hell set this up? Who said this was a good idea?
Hold on a second.
A guy with a dog nose on in the room right now telling me how to run my franchise.
You guys told me I was meeting with Dog Pound Ray, and you had to tie me down and get me to agree with it. And I told all of you your jobs were on the line, but I didn't realize the guy was walking in looking like a dog. Are you serious? I'm a billionaire. I own the team. Could you at least have gotten him to take his head off? We digress. So that's why we think of Dog Pound. We think of something a little bit different. Miller and Moulton. The schedules were released yesterday.
They were. And I didn't play the schedule game last night. I was amazed. There was too much going on the television for me to play the schedule game last night.
The
only couple of hockey games and a basketball game to pay attention to.
The only thing I was trying to do was to figure out selfishly what the Monday Night Football schedule was. That's it. And then putting them into my phone and going, oh, okay, so week 6, I'll go here. And all right.
Not too many. Like, on the surface, your Monday Night schedule doesn't look like there's a lot of bad games. And there have been years when you weren't able to say that.
Well, for $2.7 billion a year beginning next year, I think the folks at ESPN/ABC are hoping that year in, year out, you'll be able to characterize it the way you just did. Hey, you know, not so bad. Well, good. It's good to see our $3 billion got us not so bad.
Well, for you personally, I just laugh week 2 because the better game is the game you're not going to probably do.
Right, I'm guessing they're going to put Joe and Troy on ABC at the later game, in theory, a bigger audience. But you're right, Tennessee-Buffalo
is a better game
than Minnesota-Philadelphia. Don't disagree.
But you get to start with the Broncos at Seattle.
Right,
Russell coming home.
Now, you got to give, I mean, we said that had a Monday Night Football game written all over it. I just didn't think they'd do it right out of the chute.
And they did. That'll be fun. Yeah. That'll be a great atmosphere.
I think it will. I think it will be. And Seattle in September, actually, beautiful weather. Probably their best weather month of the year. So, yeah, that'll be cool. I think I'll be in Colorado for the weekend for a college game, so the travel won't be too bad.
And I know only unfortunate thing that happened to you is there's no home Steelers game, so you still are 31 of 32 NFL stadiums under your belt.
Yep.
Still a trip to Heinz Field away.
Still have not done a game in Pittsburgh. Otherwise, I've been everywhere in the last 4 years. So here are some of the, you know, the Dolphins are on Christmas Day.
Hosting the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? I mean,
is that going to ruin a lot of Christmases in Green Bay, or is it going to ruin a lot of Christmases in Miami?
Felipe?
I'll be there.
Well, here's what I'm wondering. You're 21 now. I don't know if you'll be 22 by the time that game is played, but just curious whether or not you're going to be able to, because you'll obviously go home. You'll visit your parents, the whole deal. Will it be a family affair? Will it be just you and some buddies, you and your brother?
Do you really think you can pull that off on Christmas, saying, Mom, Dad, I'm going to the game?
I think if I slid the offer on the table, I think they'd take the bait.
What do you mean? By, like, put all the tickets on the table and say, hey?
No, or, he can't afford that.
No, no.
Dad, how about you buy the tickets and we go as a family?
Yeah, like, hey, say we make this a family Christmas thing.
I'd start working on it now.
Aaron Rodgers, you know?
I'd start working on it now. But, yeah, I mean, that's an event, right? Christmas Day. One of the most famous Dolphins games ever was played on Christmas Day. I mean, it's back in the day, but that double overtime playoff game against the Chiefs, still the longest playoff game in NFL history.
Do we have a time for the game?
Yeah, it's the early game. It's 1 o'clock. So that means, you know, there's no Christmas set, you know, at the house. I mean, you know, you're getting up, you're eating, you're going.
I was going to say go to that then Heat game afterwards if they get one, you know, since they're winning the NBA Finals this year.
I'm sorry. He thinks the NBA still exists on Christmas.
Does to him.
That's cute.
And that's exactly what it is. That is cute.
That's cute. That's cute that the NBA still exists on Christmas, considering the NFL is now playing 3 games, 1, 4:30, and 8 on Christmas Day. He still thinks some people are going to watch the NBA. That's hysterical.
So do the people that run the NBA.
I know that. They're still going to keep scheduling games on Christmas Day, and that is adorable. That really is. That is so cute that they think that people are still going to watch their product on what was their biggest day before the playoffs.
Look, as long as Christmas is Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, they'll be just fine.
What is it, Monday this year? No, it's Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday this year.
And the majority of the games are going to be on the 24th, 3 games on Christmas, and then you're going to work on the 26th, where you will be in Indianapolis for Chargers Colts.
Nothing, you know, says Christmas Day quite like traveling to Indianapolis. So that's cute, Felipe. That's cute.
I'm curious now on, you know,
yeah.
Does ESPN, is there a spread on Christmas Day for you? Is there a Christmas dinner meal on the mouse?
I don't know. It's going to be a year of just, you know, I had the whole Fox thing figured out. I knew what hotels, I knew the food, everything. Now this is going to be totally different. All the hotels will be different. I got to figure out, is it more food, less food? What's the per diem?
Free food.
Free. That's important.
Because there was free food with Fox.
A ton of it.
Say that 10 times.
Miller and Moulton. The starting five is next. Thanks for listening. Florida Sports Network.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Twenty-two minutes before the hour, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. Is the Lightning streak, did I see this, 17 consecutive games now that they've won after a loss in the playoffs? And during this entire...
Well, they never lost two in a row.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
17 consecutive times now after a loss, the Lightning have come back and won. I mean, this goes back to, you know, winning the back-to-back cups and never losing two in a row. Now they're going to have to win two in a row, though. Going to have to get it done. There's no more rope. Can't go any further, baby. This is it. You're both at the cliff. Somebody's cannonballing into the deep end, and somebody's walking away with a smile on their face. But 17 consecutive, coming off a loss, win.
I'm just curious, what do you think the cheapest ticket for Game 7 in Toronto is going to be? Think 500 gets you in the door?
Yes, I think 500 gets you in the door, but I don't think anything less than 3 gets you into the door. Yeah. This will be a BFD.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
This will be a BFD. I will say this. If you know a little bit about hockey, you know, we've been saying this is the best Leaf team in the last 25 years. I think you've already seen that in the series. There's not a Leaf team in the last 25 years that would be playing a Game 7 against the Lightning. Not a single one. This is a really good team. And the Lightning obviously have a really good team. Two teams that are capable of making it all the way to the finals. And somebody's going home in 48 hours.
One set of tickets for $350 Canadian each. The next ones are $420. I don't know what our dollar varies with theirs right now. Right. I'm not paying enough attention. But that's this morning. That will go up considerably by the time Saturday comes around.
You know, I give Turner a lot of credit because they always show the huge crowd shot outside the arena. Doesn't matter the arena. All the extra fans, and they're watching the game on a jumbo screen and what have you. And they always show the celebration shot after a goal or after the overtime win. And hardly ever is the shot shown of all those people after the overtime loss. And I give Turner credit. They showed that shot last night, and you just see thousands of mostly young faces staring at a screen as if my dream is going to die again.
I will say, being old, that is the one sports phenomenon that I think I missed on, because I would have gone somewhere to watch a game in my 20s. If I was Felipe's age and there was a game of consequence that I couldn't get tickets to, I think that would be fun, being among the crazies, if you will.
Do they do that at Heat games, by the way? All right, is there a party outside there on the you know, concrete?
Yeah, and like, because there's a lot of places to watch Heat games, so there's a lot of gatherings around the city for like big finals road games.
You know what I mean. I mean, we're talking about thousands, like outside the Lightning games, they've got a huge concrete area in which those that can't get into the game, there's 1,500 plus people that are watching the game on the screens outside.
No, not really like that
specifically. Because there's no real room.
Well, also, that's the same place that they do Jurassic Park for the Raptors, because it's the Scotiabank Arena.
Right.
No, but they do it in Tampa, too.
There's a lot of places that do it.
They do it in Pittsburgh, but Miami doesn't really have the room, believe
right.
it or
that's
not.
That's why I wondered.
Yeah, not really. It's also on a busy road, Biscayne Boulevard.
I'm with you, though. That is our generation, two guys in their 50s. Yes. That wasn't around when we were in our 20s.
The millennials and the Gen Zers didn't wait all night for concert tickets to go on sale. You know,
right.
we did that.
Exactly.
And had those parties. It's just different, but yep. It's just one we missed out on.
Time now for
The Starting Five. Five stories you need to know. It's The Starting Five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
The new phone books are here. The new phone books are here. At 8 o'clock last night, the NFL schedule officially released. There were leaks throughout the day. I'll just try to do the highlights, okay? Well, you know you've made it when they put you in the first game of the year. And no, not the home team, because that means you won the Super Bowl. But the Buffalo Bills are officially a sexy team. Because it's Bills-Rams on Thursday night, September 8th, to kick off the NFL season. Bills at Rams. Not bad.
Nope.
Week one for the Bucks. Remember last year they hosted Dallas. It was the Thursday night game. So this year, the NFL said, how about if you go to Dallas week one? I think that's only fair. Dolphins host the Patriots. Last year they went to New England week one. Jags, by the way, in Washington. So Doug Peterson facing an old NFC East rival. So Bucks, Jags on the road, Dolphins at home week one. First Monday Night Football game is Russell Wilson's return to Seattle. And how about this little phenomenon for you gamblers? 10 home dogs week one. 10 out of 16. 10 home dogs week one.
There's a half and a half not right now in that league.
So, but you know, we've detailed it. Week one is anything happens week
one. It does.
But 10 home dogs from a betting standpoint. Thanksgiving triple header. Once again, the Bills at Detroit.
You know, just kicking the poor Lions. I mean, they really have to give them the Bills.
Well, they got to make it sexy. They're tired of it being Bears-Lions every year. I mean, you know.
What's sexy about 40-10?
It's watching Josh Allen.
Okay.
That's sexy. Giants at Cowboys.
Oh. Pa- See, they give the Cowboys the Giants.
And did I write this down? It's Patriots at Vikings is the night game?
Yes.
On Thanksgiving?
Yes.
I don't know about that. Christmas tripleheader. The Dolphins kick off Christmas Day at 1 o'clock, hosting Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Think about Green Bay this year. They got to go to London, and they got to go to Miami on Christmas Day. That's the 1 o'clock game. Denver and the Rams is the 4:30 game. Not bad. And Tampa Bay in action on Christmas night in Arizona, taking on the Cardinals. So Dolphins and Bucks both playing on Christmas Day. There are 13 teams, Mark, who have 5 primetime games. 13 of them. The Lions, by the way, the only team in the league not to have a primetime game. That means Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Lions, the only team in the league. If the Bills...
Wait till 2023. They'll be like the Bengals. After this hard knock season, okay. David.
All right.
And their run to the postseason, after drafting second overall, they'll have 5 in 2023.
Really?
Okay. Was having a little fun.
Gotcha. There are 9 teams that have a 3-game homestand, including Tampa Bay. There are 4 teams that have a 3-game road trip. That includes the Dolphins. So there you have it. Those are the schedule highlights. You know what to do. You know the drill. We're not going to play the schedule game. Oh, that's a win. That's a loss. We're not going to do that.
Maybe during the breaks.
Right.
We will not go on air. I guarantee you we'll play the Bucks, Dolphins, and Jags schedule game during the breaks.
We will. I will say there is one schedule that has never happened before, and it's the Chiefs. They are the first team in NFL history to start the season with 8 straight games against teams that had a winning record the year before.
Ooh.
The Chiefs' schedules at Arizona, home for the Chargers, at the Colts, at Tampa Bay, home for the Raiders, Bills, at the Niners, home for the Titans. 6 of the 8 teams won double-digit games last year.
Well, if I'm looking at this right with the Chiefs, they only play 3 teams with a losing record the whole year.
Well, think about it. You're in the AFC West.
Right.
And 2 of those games are Denver, who technically had a losing record last year.
I'm sorry. With Denver, that makes 5. So Jacksonville, the Texans, and the Seahawks, along with 2 with Denver.
So, but starting the season with, on paper, the most difficult schedule in NFL history based on what those teams had done the year before. All right. We had a bunch of game 6s last night. How many game 7s are we going to have between the NHL and the NBA? The answer right now looks like a hell of a lot. The Lightning forced a game 7. 4-3 over Toronto. Braden Point with less than 2 minutes to go in the first overtime. His 3rd career overtime goal. 17th straight win for the Lightning after a loss in the playoffs. Leafs haven't advanced to the second round in 18 years. Boston with 3 in the third. And they finally scored first in the series against Carolina. They beat the Canes 5-2 to force a game 7. There will be no game 7 with Minnesota and St. Louis. He benched Fleury for Cam Talbot. Didn't work. Blues scored 3 in the second, 2 of them on the power play. St. Louis eliminates Minnesota 5-1, Blues in 6. Edmonton forces a game 7. It was tied late. 5 minutes to go. Tyson Berry scored. And then Evander Kane with a minute to go, I believe, into an empty net. Kane had 2 goals. McDavid a goal and 2 assists. Edmonton 4-2 over the Kings. So we've got game 7s. In Toronto, Carolina, and Edmonton coming up on Saturday. Florida tries to move past Washington tonight. Pittsburgh tries to move past the Rangers tonight. Calgary tries to move past Dallas tonight. How many of those go 7?
Well, I don't know what Crosby's status is. So if he's not playing, I'll take the Rangers.
I think two of those three will go seven.
You're probably right.
Don't ask me which ones. The Heat said, we want no part of a game seven. Jimmy Butler with 32. He waved goodbye to the Philly fans. Their season's over. Heat 99-90. Miami awaits the winner of Boston-Milwaukee. Bucks up 3-2. Try to clinch that series at home tonight. Meanwhile, Phoenix and Dallas are going to a game seven. No road team can win a game in this series. Mavs won 113-86. They led by 15 at the half. The difference in the game, Dallas made 16 threes. The Suns made six. That's a 30-point difference beyond the arc in a 27-point game. So Boston needs a win in Milwaukee to keep their season alive, and Memphis needs a win at Golden State tonight to keep their season alive. How many game sevens are we going to have in the NBA? Right now we got one.
Well, I think Golden State takes care of business tonight.
You going to bet against the defending champs at home in a closeout?
No.
Major League Baseball, Astros have now won 10 in a row. They swept the twin bill from Minnesota. It wasn't supposed to be a doubleheader, but a completion of a suspended game. And 11-3, 5-0 Houston. Yankees, they keep on rolling. They scored 7 in the 8th. Stanton hit 2 homers. 15-7 Yanks over the White Sox. Mets have the best record in the National League. They beat Washington 4-1. They're 22-11. Give it up for the Reds, who have won 5 of 7.
Where are you going to go?
They're 8-24. They beat Pittsburgh 4-0. They're just a game behind Detroit. The A's took 4 of 5 from them in a series, 5-3. The Tigers are 9-23.
Where are you going to go?
Baltimore at St. Louis, 3-2. Phillies blew a 7-1 lead, but scored two in the ninth.
Where are you going
to
go?
To beat the Dodgers 9-7 and Texas 3-1 over Kansas City.
Just want to point out quickly.
Yeah.
That while the Reds are as bad as they are, they're only three back of the Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox have been miserable this year. They're banged up. They can't pitch. It's going to be a long year for the Red Sox.
It's getting late early, as Yogi said. Sebastian Munoz shot a 12 under 60 to lead the Byron Nelson by 4 after the first round. Madeline Sagstrom shot a 9 under 63, has a one-shot lead in the Founders Cup on the LPGA Tour. By the way, there's one of those Middle East tournaments, Saudi tournaments on the LPGA Tour right now that a bunch of them got, you know, extensions for so they can play in.
That's an actual Asian Tour event or European Tour event or whatever.
And so people on the LPGA side are kind of like, well, why'd we allow them to play in this? Shouldn't we be doing the same thing as on the...
No, because they let all the men play in that Saudi Open.
Just saying. And by the way, back to the Byron Nelson, Scottie Scheffler finally played. Hadn't played since the Masters, shot a 67. Steve Stricker, 7-65, is a two-shot lead at the Tradition. That's a major on the Champions Tour. And that was the starting five. Miller and Moulton, thanks so much for being with us. Let's get through this Friday together, shall we, on the Florida Sports Network?